From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope. Our special music this morning is provided by Mrs. Stacy Frederick. Miss Carla Clennon leads the congregation in the prayer for illumination.
God, teach us true happiness. May your word be a window for us to see how you wish for us to view ourselves and others. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 4 through 20. On the day that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all the sons and daughters. And although he loved Hannah, he would give Hannah only one portion, because the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her, solely to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on for year by year. As often as she went to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? And I am not more than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost in the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She vowed and said, "O Lord of hosts, if it wilt indeed look on the affliction of my maidservant and remember me and not forgive thy maidservant, but wilt give me thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord and the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took to her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunken? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman solely troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drinks, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your maidservant as the base woman, for along I will be speaking out of my great anxiety and fiction." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which has made to him." And he said to her, "Let your maidservant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her countenance was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then he went back to their house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she would call his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." Here ends the Old Testament reading.
Let us stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. I've changed the gospel reading today. It'll be in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 3. "Happy are people who are hopeless because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble. They will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and say all kinds of bad things about you and false things because of me. Be full of joy and glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you." This is good news from the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Listen now to this message from the Reverend Andrew Lovins entitled, "Happiness Is."
It's been a few weeks now. I was out with some friends of mine, clergy friends, and we were talking about Mother's Day. It was coming up. One of my good friends said to me, "Oh, I hate preaching on Mother's Day, don't you?" I said, "Well, no, I've never really given it a whole lot of thought. Why do you hate preaching on Mother's Day?" And he said, "Because you can't make anybody happy. You know, you have all kinds of people there, and children aren't mothers, and fathers aren't mothers, and then you have the mothers, and they're happy, but then there are all those women who've never become mothers or couldn't have children. And it just seems like there's no way that you can win." And I said, "Well, I've never really thought about it like that." And then I sort of expounded my theology of preaching. I said, "Well, you know, I just choose an appropriate text and explain the text and apply it and try to do it as lovingly and in a helpful way as possible, and then leave it at that." I said, "Besides, if a few cages are rattled, maybe that's what God wanted to do that morning." Well, of course, I got blank stares. I always get blank stares. The other day, I got a blank stare from my mom as well. My father had recently passed away, and we were having lunch, and I said to my mom, I said, "Mom, you have to take care of yourself. Nothing can happen to you because you're all I have left in this world." She gave me that stare. And I drove away, and on the way home, I thought to myself, what did I just say? How horrible is that? Here I've just told this grieving woman that you can't die because she's all I have left, which is not true. First of all, I have lots of people who love me and care about me. I have a good life, and now I'm telling her, "Mom, you can't die," just to make me happy. You can't die, whatever you do. And I got to thinking about that, and this is the sort of thing that we do a lot of. We buy into this idea that in order for us to be happy in life, certain things have to happen. Things have to be a certain way. We have to have certain people in our life in order for us to be happy. With me, it's having my mom around, which she'll not always be around. Hannah was like that too. Hannah told herself, "The only way that I can be happy is if I have a baby. I must have a baby." And society told her that very thing. In fact, society said, "Unless you can produce an offspring for your husband, you're a disgrace to your husband." And she bought into that. And she consumed that idea. And it got so down deep in her heart that when she goes before God to pray for a child, the Bible says that she's weeping, and that she's weeping bitterly, and that she's anxious, and that she's worried about not being able to produce a child. Well, she couldn't really do anything about it. You know, it was out of her control, but she had worked herself up. Society said you have to have a child. She bought into that. Even her husband, if you read the story, he was so good about the whole thing. He wasn't putting any pressure on her to have a child. In fact, he says, "Baby, I love this. The love that I have for you, it's better than 10 sons. Doesn't that sound just like a guy? So he wasn't putting any pressure on her, but society was. And she bought into it. And she was wringing her hands. And she was anxious and nervous. She got herself so worked up she couldn't even eat, Scripture says. Which leads me to something that we need to consider. I think Hannah was a great mother. She obviously was a godly woman who prayed, and she had a heart to raise her child in the right way. But just because she's a godly mother and because she's in the Bible doesn't mean that we need to emulate everything about her. The fact that she got so anxious and worried and uptight about this whole mess is something that we need to be cautious about ourselves. Here's the truth. Nobody can upset you without your permission. Nobody can upset you without your permission. Now, I know what we say. That person said thus and so, and they did thus and so. They upset me. No, they didn't upset you. You allowed them to get under your skin. You allowed them to upset you. You have the power to exercise self-control and live in peace and harmony no matter what the situation. Let me give you an illustration of this. Several years ago now, it was an afternoon, and I was responsible to look after the three kids. And they were just being little hellions on this day. I'm just telling it like it is. Oh, demon-possessed. Demon-possessed. No, I'm not kidding. And so they're running around the house. One's hitting the other with a stick. And the other's crying. "Oh, this is so horrible, Dad. You're a bad father." Oh. I mean, this is how I feel. It was just like hell on earth, you know, this afternoon. And so I'm shaking my finger at them and saying, "You stop that. You quit hitting your brother right now. And you keep your mouth shut. You all are just a bunch of crazy lunatics. Rah, 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 rah." And I'm going after them. And while I'm in the middle of telling them how the cow eats the cabbage, my cell phone rings. And in an instant, on a dime, I pick up my cell phone and I say, "This is Reverend Lovins. How can I help you?" I made a decision in that moment not to be upset. Did I not? And so we have the power over ourselves. In fact, Scripture says that a man who lacks self-control is like a city without walls, no protection. He is vulnerable to all of the emotional vicissitudes of life. But society says, people make you upset. The world makes you upset. Society says, you don't have control. And in fact, in order for you to be happy, all of these things in your life have to add up and have to look a certain way. We have to stop blaming other people for how we feel, because we, in fact, have control over how we feel. Society tells me that as a single man, I have to have a date in order to be happy. I have to have a date. If I don't have a date, I'm a loser. If I don't have a date, nobody loves me. In fact, the songs say it on the radio, television says it, everybody's coupled. In order to be happy, you have to have a date. Well, I had a date once. And it was heaven on earth, and it was wonderful. And then after about a year, she decided, I don't want you to be my date anymore. And she broke up with me. And for a few days, I was really upset. But that next Friday night, guess what? I was happy again. I don't have to have a date in order to be happy. When we're children, this gets going, right? We're given a toy on Christmas Day. We take the toy and we play with it viciously for about a week or two, and then suddenly, for whatever reason, we're too rough with the toy and it breaks. And we're crying and we're moaning, and this is so horrible. My life is over. And then what happens? A few days passes, and we've completely forgotten about the toy, and we're playing with another toy. We're happy all over again. Society says, for you to be happy, everything has to add up. These circumstances have to be in a certain row or a certain line in your life. These certain people have to be in your life. The fact is, if today I could bring that same toy back to us right here and it were in total repair, brand new, and I presented it to you, you would probably look at that toy and you would say to yourself, I can't believe that I upset myself over such a small, piddly little thing. We really don't need all of these things, all of these toys, in order to be happy. We like them, but we don't need them. My happiness is not dependent on you or your presence in my life. It's not dependent on my mother or her presence in my life. It's not dependent on me having somebody or not having somebody, having a date or not having a date. Here's the thing. Once I start to need you or someone, guess what happens? I start to possess that person. Now that person is responsible for my happiness. Once I start to need that person in an emotional way, with a high degree of attachment, what happens? They call me and I'm happy. But then a couple days pass and they don't call me and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening? I guess they don't love me anymore, right? I begin to possess them. Now I'm saying to that person, you are responsible to make me happy. My happiness is dependent on you in my life. And that gets into all kind of sick, doesn't it? All kinds of control and manipulation. Why do relationships break apart? Why do churches split? Why are we on the outs with our neighbors and all this kind of stuff? Because we're not happy, right? Well, did I come to church to hear? I knew that, Pastor. But here's the cold water in the face, all right? And once you get this, you'll be free, free as a bird. You'll be preaching next Sunday, all right? It's nobody's job in this world to make you happy. And once you understand that it's nobody's job to make you happy, now you can really be happy. A great teacher once said this. He said, if you're looking for happiness, look within. Because he said, it's a lot easier to put on slippers than to pad the whole world with carpet. Heard about this puppy one time. And this puppy said, oh, every time I'm happy, I notice that my tail wags. I know what I'll do. I'm just going to chase my tail. And once I catch it, then I'll be happy. And then there was an older dog listening in on this conversation. And the older dog says, well, I don't know about that. I've been chasing my tail for a long time, and I've never caught my tail yet. But I do notice when I just do what the master tells me to do, that my tail just follows right behind. Are you searching for happiness? Stop it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus said, all these other things will be added unto you. There's a guy who comes to his pastor, and of course this is not here, this is some foreign country. And he says, Pastor, my life is a hell on earth. We live in this one-room house, and it's my wife, and it's my mother-in-law, and I've got five kids, and we argue, and we scream at each other all the time. It's horrible. What should I do? And the pastor says, well, will you do what I tell you to do, no matter what, if it'll make you happy? Absolutely. He says, go home tonight. Do you have any animals? Yes, I've got five chickens, a cow, and a goat. He says, go home tonight and take all the animals into the house. Are you serious? Yes, take all the animals into the house. So the man goes home, takes all the animals into the house, and he's told to do this for a week, to live all in this one room. Oh, after a week, he comes back to the pastor, and he's like, oh my goodness, the noise, the stench, the arguments. It's worse than ever before. I can't take it anymore. I'm going mad. And the pastor says, now go home and put all the animals out of the house. So he runs home. He puts all the animals out of the house. The next day, he's back and he says to his pastor, oh, my home is a heaven on earth. The peace, the quiet. I love my children and my wife and my mother-in-law. What a blessed life I have. It's very simple, really. When we're looking for happiness here and there and everywhere, we're going about it all the wrong way. We think happiness is out there. Happiness is right underneath our nose. Right underneath our nose. If we just had the eyes to see it and appreciate it. Jesus said something else. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. He said something else too. He said, guys, I've said all this stuff to you so that you can have joy and so that you'll have joy to the full. Okay, sounds like a very Jesus-y statement. Jesus is a guy, he didn't have children, did he? No. As far as we know, he didn't have a wife. In fact, there's one place where he says, guys, I don't even have a place to lay my head, but I want you to have my joy. See, happiness is really not dependent on all these other things. It's something that comes from within. And Hannah eventually gets this. She eventually comes to this revelation. She starts out kind of bent out of shape and worried and anxious. I got to have a kid. I got to have a kid. That's what society told her. I have to have a kid. Otherwise, I'm nothing. But eventually, through God's grace, she gets beyond all of that. And what happens? God gives her this child, Samuel, and what does she do? After she weans him, she takes him to the temple, and she lets go of him. Gives him back to God. Isn't that something? And unlike before, she's not in a heap on the ground. Oh, I have to give up my son. This is horrible. Oh, she's not. All of that's gone now because she's come to the revelation that my happiness doesn't lie in Samuel. It doesn't lie in my having a child. She has evolved. You see, she's grown beyond having to have all these attachments to be a healthy, whole, happy human being. In fact, after she weans her child, and she takes him and presents him at the temple, she offers this prayer. And it's the key to the whole thing. Hannah prays, chapter 2. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My strength rises up to the Lord. There is no one holy like God. No, no one except you. There is no rock like our God. That's the key. I know how it is. We buy into a lot of stuff. The world tells us a lot of stuff. To be happy, you have to have this kind of house and this many rooms and this kind of car. And you have to look this certain way and you have to have this level of intelligence. And you've got to be with this person over here. And we get this picture in our mind that this is what happiness looks like, right? And we drink that in, and we drink it in like poison. We do. We drink it in like poison. And then when our life doesn't exactly match the vision that society has ingrained in our head, we're blown apart. I remember when my dad died, I was really, really, really upset. And it's understandable. I'm a human being. I was really upset. And then one day I'm traipsing along and I just had this revelation. Why am I so upset? Am I upset for my father? Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's with the Lord. Who am I really upset for? I'm upset for myself. And some of that is understandable. But it dawned on me right there, then, I can't live with that. I can't live in that, with that kind of emotional attachment to him. I need to release him to God like Hannah released her child to God. And then I need to find my happiness not in him or her or you or a set of circumstances. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My strength rises up in the Lord. There is no one holy like God. That kind of happiness, you see, won't move. It sticks. It stays. That's the kind of happiness that I want. Let's pray. We thank you, O God, for helping us. Help us to find our center in you. To find our intimacy and our joy in you. You have the kind of joy that the world can't take away. Help us to grow and come to that place where we can say, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.